Welcome in, everybody, to the first episode in the new spin-off series from That Movie Show entitled Movies with Mike. Now, if you listened to or watched our Showgirls episode this past week, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you heard all the updates and changes that were coming to That Movie Show, including the spin-off solo mini-pods that Eddie and I are going to be doing. Today, I'm going to be covering Hustlers. Hustlers opened up in the U.S. on September 13th. About a week or so ago. And it had a budget of $20.7 million and had an opening weekend of about $33 million, reportedly the highest opening weekend of Jennifer Lopez's career. Starred Jennifer Lopez, Constance Wu, Julia Stiles, Kiki Palmer, Lily Reinhart, Lizzo, Cardi B, Big J. Okerson, a who's who. Frank Wiley shows up. A wild Frank Wiley appearance in this movie. And I saw it, and now I'm going to review it with you here on Movies with Mike. First part's going to be quick and spoiler-free, and then we'll get to spoilers. This movie, of course, is based on the true story. It was based on a 2015 New York Magazine article, The Hustlers of Scores, by Jessica Pressier, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. And it's basically the story of a group of strippers from Scores in New York City that once the financial crisis, I guess, happened in 2009-ish, 2008-ish, the strip club industry went downhill, especially the higher end ones where the Wall Street guys would show up and just blow thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on an evening. And that dried up. Basically, their money dried up and they had to find other ways to make money. So these women who worked at Scores devised this plan. In the movie, it's called Going Fishing. And they basically started drugging Wall Street guys and then running up their credit cards in the strip club and then getting a percentage of the cut. Overall, spoiler-free rating of the movie, I would give it a C, C plus in that area. I felt it was about 30 minutes too long. I felt that the ending it just kind of ends. It has one of those... It has the disservice of pretty much trying to stick to the true story or the article, which just kind of ends. I felt it would have benefited more if they had took the concept of the story and then fictionalized the movie around it. It would have given the characters more things to do, because the movie felt like overall just a series of long vignettes, a series of long bits and segments and sequences that, again, it was 30 minutes too long, so a lot of it could have been cut. But overall, C plus. It's one of those things, if you listen to the radio show, which is on North Shore 104.9 every Saturday morning at 9, we of course are sponsored by Showcase Cinemas, and we talk about Showcase Subscribe all the time, which is their subscription service, where you see 3 movies a month for a subscription fee. And it's one of those things that it's nice, because if you have one of those subscription plans, Hustlers falls into that. Well, I wouldn't actually go and pay full price for a ticket to go see this movie, but because I have 3 movies a month, it falls into that category of I'll go check it out. And you know, like I said, it was a C, C plus. It was an okay movie. It wasn't a great movie. I might not even call it a good movie. It was definitely a very okay movie. It's something that if you are paying full price for tickets, I would say it's a wait to Netflix or wait to, you know, HBO or something like that type of movie. Spoiler-free part. Over. Let's get into spoilers, because it's a true story. It's a true story based on an article from 2015. So I feel spoiling it is like, there's no real spoilers. Almost the whole plot is laid out in the trailer. The strippers who, I'm not even sure the club's name in the movie, but it's based on strippers from Scores in New York City. It starts off really great. Action, you know, the action is flying out of the gate. Lot of high-energy strip club dance sequences. They're really showing it off. It was funny because I didn't realize until the end credits that there was a female director on this. And thinking back on it, and especially because on the podcast we had just done Showgirls, which was directed by Paul Verhoeven, you could tell that, especially in the strip club scenes, this was done through the eyes of a woman, in a good way, and in a very positive way, because it's a different approach. And it's highlighting more of the customers and how they treat the girls in this club and in this movie, which is it's an interesting approach. I will say, for a movie that predominantly takes place in a strip club, there wasn't a whole lot of stripping. There was girls, you know, on stage and dancing on poles and giving lap dances, but there wasn't a whole lot of, quote-unquote, stripping. Like I said, for a strip club, especially coming off of Showgirls, there wasn't a whole lot of nudity in this movie, which is, it's fine. It wasn't like a prerequisite going in like, everybody's going to be naked. It's like, no, but it was noticeable. It was noticeable. But the movie itself, like I said, it was just okay. It starts off hot. There was a sequence where Jennifer Lopez's character, Ramona, is introduced in like the opening few minutes of the movie. It's all told through mostly through Constance Wu's character, who's talking to Julia Stiles' character. Julia Stiles is playing the reporter for New York Magazine, and Constance Wu is kind of telling her story to her in, I believe, 2014, and then we're seen through sequences of flashbacks and flash forwards to 2008, where we start. We meet J-Lo's character, and it's kind of a ridiculous scene as far as strip clubs are concerned, because she comes out on stage, and the stage is so Hollywood strip club. It's really, it's such a set. I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, all right. That's like the backlighting, the LED lights, and all the spotlights down on the pole and all that stuff. And J-Lo comes out, and J-Lo clearly worked her ass off getting into this character. She knew her shit, plain and simple. She knew how to pole dance. She knew how to do stripper stuff. I was impressed with the physical side of what she was doing. Then all of a sudden, basically, it seemed like the entire club exploded with money all over the stage. And I get it. You had to lay out for the audience that this character, Ramona, she's, for lack of a better term, she's the queen bee in the club. But for those of you who have ever been to a strip club, the reception she got was that of a world-renowned featured dancer. And then all of a sudden you find out, nope, she's just one of the girls in the rotation. And you're like, okay, that was an excessive amount of money to be thrown at her. But they were trying to establish that because this was the opening of the film in 2008. So they were trying to establish how well money was, how much money was coming in at that point in time, so that the contrast to when 2009 and the financial crisis hits, the contrast to that is very dramatic when basically there's no money coming in and they're scrounging for tips. They're scrounging for dances. They got to do extra stuff in the back for cheap money. And Constance Wu's character kind of facilitates that side of things, where it's told that basically you're no longer getting Wall Street guys coming in and dropping $10,000-$15,000 a night. You're getting frat guys coming in and trying to, you know, hustle extra services in the back for, you know, extra $100, and then they're actually stiffing them and giving them only $40 or something like that. So all that is played out through the 2009 sequence. And then we fast forward Constance Wu's character as a kid, and we move forward, but, you know, she breaks up with her boyfriend, who's the baby daddy, and has to find another way to make some money. So she goes back to the club, and it's like the doldrums of the strip club industry. There's nothing happening. And then she runs into Jennifer Lopez's character, who they developed a mentor-mentee, I don't even know if mentee is a word, but mentor relationship. J-Lo kind of took her under her wing, taught her the ropes of hustling in the club business, and they became close friends in the movie. And then when Constance Wu's character, Destiny, has a child, she kind of gets away from the strip club industry, and they kind of lose touch. And you see, like, oh, you know, certain things happen. Then they went and tried to get straight jobs. J-Lo's character gets a job in like Old Navy or something like that, doing retail. And then when Constance Wu comes back to the club, she sees J-Lo coming back into the club with a couple guys. Now, it wasn't explained very well. Here's where the movie kind of falls apart, because the plot is very similar to the first half of Goodfellas, where they're basically setting up the La Tanza heist in Goodfellas. And what Goodfellas did very well was explain everyone's role and how the plan was going to come together. In Hustlers, the plan kind of was just yada yadded over. They, you know, basically J-Lo takes Constance Wu out to a diner. She's like, oh, if you really want to make money, we have this other side thing that we're doing with the club, which is quickly revealed in a series of quick vignettes that they're basically drugging Wall Street guys at a bar, and then they're bringing them to the strip club, and they're bringing them in the back, they're getting their credit card, and they're maxing out all their corporate cards and all their credit cards for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And then basically, if the guys call up saying, what the fuck, why did you take all my money, they're like, what are you going to do? You had a great time at the club. What are you going to do? You're going to call the cops and say you lost $5,000 at a strip club? No, you're going to just move on with your life. It's a corporate card, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Like I said earlier on, they could have cut 30 minutes out of this movie. And there's a lot of repetition in this movie. When they quote unquote go fishing to bars, they're looking for, you know, they're looking for the Wall Street guys that are susceptible to pretty girls. The whole sequence was pretty ludicrous, in a sense that it's told as a true story. So you're trying to see it through everyone's eyes. You're trying to put yourself in everyone's shoes in this situation. And it's like, I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, all right, if I'm sitting at a bar and this attractive girl comes up next to me and we start chit-chatting, okay, fine. It happens. Then all of a sudden, three of her friends, basically, the marching towards the guy was one of the most hilarious sequences, because they did it over and over again. And it was always three girls. It was usually J-Lo, Constance Wu, and one other girl, would basically march. Usually it's either Lily Reinhart or Kiki Palmer. Those two would usually change roles, depending on which guy they were fishing for. But they would just march towards this guy. Like, if you were in his shoes, you'd be like, this is some kind of a scam. These four women are that into me. I'm not that interesting of a person. At least that's what I would be thinking. I'm like, where's the scam here? And they all want to go to a strip club with me? Really? I don't know. It's just that the whole fishing sequence, probably because it was so repetitious, seemed a bit absurd to me. And probably also because they kept doing it in the same bar. And they were very blatant about dumping drugs into the fucking guy's drink, which was, I believe, a mix of ketamine and MDA. That whole part of it, I know they were doing it for the audience. Basically, they were keeping it simple for the audience, is what I felt. Where they kept it in the same bar, because if they kept changing locations, there was a chance that some audience members would be like, "Well, they're in a different place. Are they in the strip club now, or are they in the bar? Are they in that bar?" So they kept it in the same bar for most of it. They kept the same routine for most of it. But it was like, okay, I get it. After two or three times, you get it. They did this to a lot of guys. But on the fifth and sixth one, you're like, I get it. Let's move along. Because they weren't really telling a story. They were just repeating the same thing over and over again. There was a, in the middle, like right between... when they were very successful at this phishing scam. So it's like, it's almost like the bridge between being successful at it and then having to branch out and do other things, find other ways, which I'll explain in a moment. There was this Christmas sequence where all the girls who were in on the scam, including Constance Wu's grandmother, she wasn't in on the scam, but she was part of the movie. Constance Wu was basically working to, you know, to get cash to, you know, pay for her grandmother's apartment and et cetera, et cetera. And the grandmother kind of represented the heart of her character. And when she passes away, it's like, you know, a gutting moment for her character. But there's this Christmas sequence that was like, I don't know. It seemed like it went on for 20 minutes. I'm sure it was in reality probably 7 to 8 minutes long, but it could have been cut in half. It was one of those things, like, they start passing around gifts to everybody, and it's like, okay, fine, okay. They're giving each other very expensive gifts to establish to the audience that they're making a shitload of money doing this. Okay, fine, I get that. But then it went on further. There was a whole dance sequence at the Christmas party. There was a whole dinner sequence at the Christmas. Grandma's telling some joke about, I don't know, fucking Frankie Valli or something like that. Or I don't remember exactly what the story was. It wasn't important. That's why I don't remember it. But it just kept going on and going on and going on. And then it cuts to Constance Wu and Julia Stiles in the interview segments that we kept cutting to. And Julia Stiles asks her, you know, a question about the drugging and the stripping. And Constance Wu is like, oh, is that all you want to hear about? Is that all you want to hear about is the drugs and the stripping and the thieving? And in my head, I'm thinking, no, why don't you go on and tell me 20 more minutes about your Christmas parties? Because that's interesting as hell. So yeah, there was moments like that where I'm just like, this is going on forever. And that was the downside of the movie, in my opinion. That's why if they had tightened it up, I feel it would have been a better movie. I possibly would have been giving it a B plus instead of a C plus if they had just tightened it up, because it came in at an hour and 50 minutes. So if you take 20 minutes out, you're hitting a tight 90 minute movie. Perfect. Perfect. A tight 90 minute movie with this story works. The extra 20 minutes is filler and bloating. I feel it didn't work. As I mentioned, the movie just kind of ends. Because again, it's told as a true story. They use elements of that in the Julia Stiles scenes where there's like moments where Constance Wu like turns off Julia Stiles' recorder, and then all of a sudden all the audio in the theater goes out, and you see the two of them talking. However, there's no audio coming through, so they were trying to convey that, oh, this is such a true story that we're not even going to tell you the dialogue that was said between these two people because it wasn't part of the article. All right, cute, whatever. But it just ends. It just ends. There's no... They get arrested in a very boring fashion, all the girls. J-Lo is picked up at an ATM. Constance Wu... is picked up at her house. The cops just show up and arrest her at her house. Lily Reinhardt is picked up in her apartment. She's really the only one that tries to escape for about 2 seconds. Doesn't. Kiki Palmer has a fiance or husband who's been in jail throughout the run of the entire movie. She keeps talking about, you know, getting a lawyer so they can keep her out of jail, et cetera, et cetera. Well, she visits him in jail. She's walking out of the jail. Cops are waiting for her at the jail. They arrest her at the jail. Okay, funny, whatever. But then once they all get arrested, it's like the ending is so hurried up where they basically, they get arrested, they all sit down in the interrogation rooms. They're running back and forth and back and forth. And it's, again, not long. The whole interrogation scene takes maybe 2 minutes. And then it's J-Lo and Constance Wu on the sidewalk. And J-Lo is like, all right, well, we're going to call some of our regulars who know lawyers and we'll lawyer up and we're going to fight this. And Constance Wu, who has a kid, is basically like, I took a deal. And their relationship, Destiny and Ramona's relationship, severs. And they just kind of hurry up to the ending. And there's no real resolution in it. It's just like they cut to black. Couple of title cards saying, you know, Destiny took a plea deal, X amount of years of probation. Ramona took this, did this amount of time in jail and this probation. You know how it goes. You know, they just list off what each girl got. A lot of them did probation and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a rushed, quick ending that it literally just ends. The interesting thing about it, I would say the most interesting thing about the movie, the part that if you're watching this movie makes me think anyway, is the morality of the movie. And there are some funny sequences throughout it. There was a guy that once they start getting desperate because they were drugging their regulars, and it was a tight-knit group of girls, and they were sticking with their regulars. But once their regulars kind of caught on to the deal and that dried up, they had to start fishing for just random people. And as Constance Wu's character was kind of trying to be the conscience of the whole thing, she said that randoms get... They're random. They're erratic. There's too many what-ifs going on. And then they start bringing other girls in. And they start using, you know, junkies and criminals and stuff like that. And they're erratic. And they're fucking up. And they're turning on them. And there's a sequence where a guy, you know, gets all, you know, they drug him. And he gets all hopped up, gets naked, tries to jump into his pool off the roof and splat. And that's actually the scene you see in the trailer where Constance Wu is dropping the naked guy off at the hospital. And it was a funny sequence. That sequence made me laugh. But the morality of it was... and it's even conveyed by Julia Stiles' character where she's like, I don't know. She goes, I know I should feel bad for the guys that you're robbing, but I don't. And that's actually a very important line for the movie. And it's kind of the morality through line of the whole movie where you do think about it. You're like, okay, who's the bad guy in this situation? Because they do establish that the guys that are going into the club are these guys are treating these girls like shit. They are, some of them are aggressive, some of them can get violent, some of them are just, you know, horrible human beings. They're degrading as all hell to them. And then there's also the whole Wall Street side of things where they're like, well, they're stealing from everybody and they're making their money through illegal means and stuff. We're just, you know, it's a Robin Hood story where we're just robbing the rich to give to the poor type of thing. So you do think about it, and at least I did. But when I left, that was what was in my head. Like, who was the good people in this movie versus the bad people in this movie? But they do get to a point where when they start dipping into, you know, random people, the basically the guy that sets off the chain of events that gets all the girls arrested, he was a relatively average guy. That they fished, they grabbed, they ran up his corporate card, they ran up his debit card, and he was the one that called, and he was like, I got fired from my job because you maxed out my corporate card. I lost my house because I can't pay my mortgage. I have an autistic child who I'm trying to keep in private school. I can't pay the tuition, all because you guys drugged me and took my money. And when they basically told him where to go, hey, you lost money in a strip club. What are you going to do, call the cops? He did. And there was a scene where the cops are answering the phone and he says, you know, I had $5,000 stolen from me at a strip club. And they're like, ah, well done, sir. Click, hang up. But he kept persisting. He kept persisting. And he was the one that kind of spiraled it. And that made you feel that, okay, these girls might have had the right idea to start with, but they took it down a dark road when greed got involved, when it was like, all right, well, we need more. We need to keep this going. Because stuff like this, you know, scams like this have a shelf life. And when it dried up, that's when they started fishing into the regular, the innocent, for lack of a better term, pool of men. And that's when you feel bad for the guys. The first set of guys, the Frank Wileys of the world, who were calling his secretary in and like turning his computer screen at her to make her watch, you know, porn and stuff. These are just, they were made in the movie to be despicable human beings. And so you didn't feel bad when the girls brought them in, drug them up, took their credit card, maxed that out for $10,000. But when this guy is like, look, I lost my wife, I lost my house, I have an autistic kid that can't pay his tuition, and I got fired from my job, all for what, $5,000? You start to feel bad for that guy. So ultimately, as I wrap this up, I would say... Yeah, C+. If you don't have one of the movie theater's subscription services, I would say wait till it hits a streaming service. Not worth a buy when it hits Blu-ray, in my opinion, but definitely worth a watch if you have one when it hits a streaming service, be it a Netflix or whatever. So that'll do it for the first installment of Movies with Mike, presented by That Movie Show. We're going to be doing at least one of these a week. The next one I have on deck is Rob Zombie's 3 from Hell. I went and saw it in the theater last week. Be sure to subscribe to That Movie Show on any form of podcast. We are on all of them. Be sure to hit up the Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. I am on social media under @MikeWendt. You can find me on all forms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, #thatmovieshow. And I'll talk to you next time. On the main show, we got Rambo First Blood coming up. See you then.